was the one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you, though. If you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away, so no one knows, no one will see if you stop believing. Try to promise that someday it all works out, 'cause this is the valley, and even now he is breathing on your dry bones. And there will be dancing, there will be beauty where beauty was ash and stone. This much I know.
Good morning. Welcome again to Trinity Online. We hope that this time together will be comforting, nurturing, edifying as we continue to work through these unusual times. But we're glad that you are with us. And if you would, please join me in our call to worship. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Now please enjoy and sing along with the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. With patience bear thy cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. Change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end.
Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and we shall meet.
And now let us turn to the Lord in prayer. God, we do thank you for your love and comfort, the strength of your presence and your spirit. Though we're distant apart physically from one another, we are joined together in your love and grace and through this congregation and the fellowship that we have through your spirit. So bless us as we come to you. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us stamina for the days ahead. And we will thank you for the love and joy that is ours in Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you share with me in the affirmation of faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we have a few announcements and things to share what's going on in the congregation at this point. For now, things remain closed. All worship services and gatherings, meetings here at the church, all non-essential things, we remain closed for the safety and security for all of our people, to preserve your health and safety as well. We will continue to report on Thursdays by congregational mail-out, and next week a combination mail-out and tidings of activities and information we need to share with you and any updates and notices as well. Our TLC preschool remains closed. At this time, our plan is to follow the Escambia County school closures and remain closed until April 15th. We're not able to comply with the CDC guidelines, and in order to protect our children and their families from spreading the virus and other ailments, we will remain closed for the duration. If possible, we may even work in the summer renovations that we had planned on doing in June. We may try to do that during your absence in April, so there'll be less disruption when you come back. We'll keep you posted on that and notify our TLC families and our church members as to what we are planning. You should have received last week in emails to the congregation suggested links to materials for small group studies or Christian education materials, things you might want to do with your families by having home reflections, thoughts, devotionals. If you share those links, there are lots of resources, especially through Right Now Media, through which we have a subscription where you too can receive, download, watch online, or share with one another a lot of free materials to share in our love and devotion and discipleship and nurture while we're absent one from another. We'll keep you updated as there are other activities. Those are the main things at this point. Let me see. I thought I had one other. Look for Thursday updates to keep you posted. And I remind you, not begging for it, but reminding you of our online giving, or you can mail your tithes and offerings to the church, that we continue to support those who are in need and our basic operations in the time frame until we're all back together again. But we ask that God bless you and keep you until we get together again. So we're going to do a few thoughts for the children. Not a full-fledged children's moment, you can't come forward, but just thinking of you and your children, especially things they might need to know. I'm reminded during this time about so much about hand washing. A pastor's child said every time they came in, the pastor asked, "Have you washed your hands? Have you washed your hands? You got to wash off the germs. Have you washed your hands?" And the child finally, exasperation, said, "Germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I hear about this house, and I've never seen either one." But we do ask that you protect by hand washing, and that also we remember Jesus is with us, even though we can't see. Interesting that in the Bible, King David asked the Lord in Psalm 56, keep my tears in a bottle. You know, put my tears in a bottle and keep them so you'll not forget that I've been scared and anxious and afraid, and my tears will remind you my need for you and your love for me. So basically, I ask, have you ever cried? Have you ever fallen down, skinned your knee, banged your elbow, hurt yourself, you cried? Yeah, we all have. Have you ever been so sad that you cried? You lost something or someone, or for whatever made you sad, you cry? We all have. Have you ever had somebody hurt your feelings to the point that made you cry? Yeah, we all have. The beauty is Jesus wept too. Jesus cried too. In the scripture that tells us that when his friend Lazarus died, Jesus was so sad and so upset, he cried just like we do. And then he offered love and strength to those around him. So that gives us permission to be upset and afraid and cry when we need to. But in this time where people may be scared about this pandemic, because like germs and Jesus, we can't see the virus that is out there. Remember that God is with us. There are adults all around you taking care of things. The doctors and nurses and technicians are working hard to find the right medicine to address this, to protect us. And people are all around you. Perhaps your mother or friends or others are sewing masks for those who need masks at the hospital. Everybody's pitching in to do a little something that they can. We are surrounded by caregivers who will take care of us, even when we're anxious, to share their love and their courage. And remember, God is with you too. So don't be afraid to the point that you can't do anything. Love the people around you who are taking care of you too, and God will bless you. Thank you.
So our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to work through verses 1 to 45, and Hugh and I are going to have just more of a conversation about this text. But before we do, let us turn to God in prayer. Lord God, we do ask for your illumination as we read your word. We pray that you would give us understanding, that you would give us your wisdom, so that we may come to know you better, worship you with more affection, and follow you more sincerely. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to read verses 1 through 16, and then we'll just work our way through. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. I think one of the things that, a couple of things that become very apparent, very clear to us. One, Lazarus was ill. It says it multiple times that Lazarus was ill. And the second thing is that Jesus decided to stay where he was instead of going to Bethany. Now, on top of that, though, we learn further what's going on. In verse 4, Jesus says that this illness does not lead to death, rather is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And so while this knowledge, this message, came to Jesus and the disciples that Lazarus was ill, the whole time Jesus knew something more, that his knowledge of the situation was greater than theirs. And we see that as the disciples misunderstand and don't really grasp what's going on. But Jesus does, and he sees something that the others do not. I think especially in this time where we're wondering and we're asking questions, we're wondering if our prayers are being heard, we're to be assured here and understand that God's providence sometimes is hidden to us. There's things that God is doing that are not always so evident or discernible on our end, because our knowledge is limited.
Exactly. Nor does it often happen in our time frame. Why didn't he move quicker? Why didn't he go? Why do we have to wait? He knows something we don't.
He does.
He will see us through this with some hidden blessings we'll discover later.
And that, I think, our anchor is that God will be glorified, that God's glory is unfading, that God's glory will be seen even if we don't fully comprehend what is going on at the moment. And I think the other thing that's clear from this text is that Jesus' delay was not rooted in a deficit of love. In fact, the decision not to go was because Jesus loved them. And so if we're feeling forsaken, wondering when that response is going to come, the assurance is that Jesus, his love has not been removed from us, that he's loving us through this pandemic and these unusual times.
Indeed, I like your phrase, there's no deficit of love, nor is there any deceitfulness. He delays for a purpose that we even see the greater works that we would not have seen otherwise. So I think he is going to love us through this and help us love one another through this and get through it together.
And we see that love unfold for this family as we read verses 17 through 37.
Yeah. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary still sat in the house. Martha therefore said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here. He's calling for you." And when she heard it, she arose quickly and was coming to Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, "Behold how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of him who were blind have kept this man also from dying?
So we're introduced to the sisters, Martha and Mary. Two different scenes, similar but different. So we first meet Martha, who gets up first, goes out to meet Jesus. And she's obviously grieved, and she's obviously upset about the loss of her brother. And says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But then she follows that up by saying, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." So I see Martha as one who is resilient. She maybe stoic, we've maybe described her as. She's able to, obviously grieved, but obviously able to summon up some strength as she meets Jesus.
Yeah, even being that stoic, like many people see around us in the midst of this, they can just kind of put their feelings aside and get up and do what needs to be done. And we go admire their strength and then wonder, don't they feel too? And then we encounter Mary.
Well, and I say that when with Martha, who gives this, you know, theologically, you know, sound insight here, "I know my brother will rise at the last day." And Jesus is saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." You know, Jesus is saying to Martha, "I am the one. I'm the one who has authority and power over life and death." So in front of Martha, Jesus is incredibly strong, incredibly confident. He almost seems unmoved by the situation. But then we meet Mary, who also comes out to Jesus and saying the very same words that her sister spoke. "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." But there's no follow-up. There's no, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Instead, we're told that she fell at Jesus' feet. She knelt at Jesus' feet. I think it's, if Martha was characterized by this resilience, I think Mary is simply overcome by her grief. She's at a point of weakness, tiredness, need.
Yeah, she's a bit just kind of overwhelmed. And like so many people, she's just exhausted. She's emotional, just talking, "I wanted it fixed and you weren't here. And what do we do?"
And Jesus, you know, as he did with Mary, as he did with Martha, was assertive. But here, he's greatly troubled. He's moved in his spirit. And in that famous verse, he weeps. It's this image of him really entering Mary's grief, this family's sorrow. And so when we put it together, we see Jesus as the one who has a power and authority over death, and yet he weeps. He's merciful, he's tender, he's compassionate, he's sympathetic to their weaknesses. And that's what we need. We need one who's strong. We need one who has the authority and the power over life and death. But we also need one who will weep with us, one who knows our troubles and enters into our troubles and shares them with us.
And I think, too, the beauty is he validates both sisters. He doesn't favor one over the other. He accepts them where they are. They both find in him the strength that they need, the response that they need, and he ministers to each of them in the way that they need, just as he will minister to us in the ways each of us need and see us through.
So do you think there might be different responses to what's going on around us?
Oh, absolutely. You can see it in the public. You can hear it in conversations. Mm-hmm. People are dealing with it in their own ways, and that's okay, because Jesus was here with each of you in the same way.
That the common denominator of these sisters was they went to Jesus.
They both had faith in Jesus, yes.
And that's where we all need to go.
Which says to me, too, because he validates them, you can be honest and real when you come to God in prayer, which they both sought out Jesus, as we need to. And to be real, because he can deal with it.
They were very much true to themselves as they approached him.
Pray honestly, tell God what you're feeling, voice it, express it. You kind of claim that and let God deal with it.
And we see that Jesus then continues to move closer and closer to the tomb.
Yeah.
And we'll read that in verses 38 through 45. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. So as Jesus approaches the tomb, once again, we see that he's greatly disturbed. He's looking into this tomb, this cave, where there's grief, there's sorrow, there's death. And we see that Jesus is the opponent of death. Death is the enemy. It's not something that Jesus is satisfied, at ease with, comfortable with, that he too is agitated, troubled by the death and the decay around us and in our world.
Just as he is troubled by the things that agitate us or threaten us or imperil us or overwhelm us, he's not a God of the dead ends. He defeats the dead ends. He brings forth goodness and light, as you'll point out. After the defeat of the dead ends comes hope and love and trust.
And Martha sees the dead end, right? She mm-hmm. says, "Lord, it's been 4 days. There's already a stench." So we know that Lazarus's body's decomposing. I mean, this is such a hopeless situation in their eyes. And even though she had claimed trust and belief, even she at this moment is wavering, questioning, doubting. But Jesus continues to press forward. And what does Jesus do? But he turns to his Father in prayer. Before there's action, there's prayer. I think we all feel and are growing weary of not being connected, of not seeing one another. We want action. We want to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But let's remember that before Jesus moved to action, there was prayer. This may be an opportunity for us while we're distant, fervent prayer.
Absolutely, because that prayer brought discernment. What's best? What do I need to do? How do I best handle this? What is the takeaway from this? I think we have a lot of time on our hands to be thinking through the issues before us. And what is our best response?
Mm-hmm. And notice, Jesus doesn't go into the tomb here. He simply speaks the words of life, and out comes Lazarus. Just as God spoke at the beginning, "Let there be," Jesus speaks here, and Lazarus comes to new life.
Yeah. He shatters death. He shatters the dead ends. He shatters the despair, and he brings light and hope. And they believe, and belief in a way that is so strong you cannot but act on it. And so they learn from the others to trust.
And we see here that reason at the beginning for Jesus' delay, so that others would believe. I think what John's telling us here is that Lazarus wasn't the only one freed that day. And verse 45 tells that many of those who were with Martha and Mary had come to believe. And I think what John's pointing to is that true freedom, the openness to new life, is available to us through our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, the Messiah, who's come into the world.
Who has the power and the answers and the strength that we need when we're defeated. He brings that and puts us in touch with that which is beyond.
So I know we're waiting for things to resume. We want new and better news, and I'm right there with you. But I think this reminds us that the new life is open to us today.
And you wonder, was it the miracle that convinced the people, or the witness of Martha and Mary and the followers of the disciples around them? Sometimes that's the greatest strength we have in sharing with one another what God has done and can do.
So let us continue to witness to the new life that we have in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who himself went into a tomb and came out and was raised to new life so that we could share eternally in that life with him. Thanks be to God.
Amen. So let us turn to God in prayer, thinking of our loved ones around us in our community, our world, but let's turn to God and seek that wisdom from above. If you have your bulletin, I invite you to join with me and read responsively the Amen after each phrase. Let us pray. Lord God, we continue to experience change and uncertainty and worry. We've had another week of disruptions, waiting, adjustments. Through all of this, O Lord, we continue to receive your care and comfort. You continue to bless us and to do more than we could ever imagine. Give us the wisdom we need to see your hand at work and the faith to trust you even when we don't understand. Amen.
Lord Jesus, in your earthly life, you loved your neighbor perfectly. You consoled the weeping, healed the broken, and strengthened the weak. Give us grace and love that we may care for those around us. Unite us in our work so that we may glorify you as we tend to one another in this time of great need.
Amen. God of all compassion and comfort, be near to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. Bring comfort to the lonely, hope to the anxious, and light to those enveloped in darkness. We remember you're present when we cannot be near family, loved ones, and friends. We trust the Holy Spirit to minister to those we cannot reach or see face to face. Amen.
And Almighty God, may those caring for the sick receive strength and endurance as they give themselves to care for those in need. Give wisdom and knowledge to researchers, administrators, and all those working to combat this virus. Grant our elected leaders unity to work together for the welfare and dignity of all people. May we all put the interests of others before our own, remembering that Christ came to serve and not to be served.
Amen. O God, you are our rock and refuge. We will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea. We will never be shaken, for you alone are our rock and salvation. In the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Now, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and every day. Amen.
Amen.